Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. It's been 50 years since Kate Taylor released her debut album, Sister Kate. The April edition of Rolling Stone includes an extended interview with her and says, 50 years ago, James Taylor's sister released her debut album, then promptly vanished from the scene. Now, decades after she traded rock stardom for life in a teepee, Kate Taylor is back. Today, we look back on those early days, her hiatus, and her new album, Why Wait? Welcome, Kate Taylor.
Thank you, Mindy. Thanks for having us here. It's a thrill to be speaking with you. Oh, my God.
Thrilled to be speaking with you.
I'm such a fan.
And also joining us is three-time Grammy Award-winning producer Peter Asher, who Kate is reuniting with for this album. Hi, Peter.
Hi, good morning.
So aside from being part of the duo Peter and Gordon, you were also the manager for James Taylor, Kate's brother, Linda Ronstadt. You were the host of a Beatles radio show on Sirius Radio, and you both worked together in the 1970s. So Peter, how did this reunion or idea of this new album come about?
Well, you know, I've stayed in touch with Kate. Obviously, I love all the Taylor family and know everybody well. And I knew that, you know, after the period of TP retirement, I knew she was singing again, and I've always loved her singing. And I have to confess that much though I've often thought how much fun it would be to work with Kate, I didn't realize even that it was the 50th anniversary of the album we'd done. It was somebody else who kind of went, you know, have you noticed it is now the 50th anniversary, or is about to be 50th anniversary of the album they did all those years ago. An album which did pretty well, I hastened to add, and had a number of fans. And I went, oh, you know, we both, I think, had the same reaction. Really? Not possible. You know, couldn't be that long. But it was suggested that maybe it's time to do another one.
Yeah.
And I jumped at the chance.
So, Kate, was it your agent who had this idea? Who had the idea?
Yes.
Yeah, it was Keith Putney. He works with Peter. He's Peter's manager and agent, and he's my agent. And he was the one who kind of, you know, got this ball rolling and came up with this, the fact that it was 50 years. It was brilliant. I'm so grateful that he, you know, we had a chance to talk it over and get the ball rolling, because it's been a blast.
Yeah, I bet. So Kate's musical style, a bit different than her brother's, Peter. Rolling Stone describes its kind of earthy soul. How do you describe Kate's style?
She's clearly, you know, she's an R&B singer at heart. She's an R&B lover, you know. I mean, anyone whose daughter is named Aretha doesn't take a detective to figure out what kind of music they like. But I also, Kate singularly lacks kind of restraint, you know, in a way that is really great, you know. So she goes for it. She goes for it on stage and off and it makes it so exciting to listen to. I mean, when we're doing the album, no two takes are exactly the same. You know, she'll try stuff that doesn't quite work, you know, that goes off the rails, and then get back on the rails and do something totally genius, you know. So that makes it very exciting. You know, it's not cerebral at all. It is sort of in instinctive and instant and very exciting. Exciting to work with and exciting to listen to.
Yeah. So Kate, is it just like, does it just kind of come from your soul? I mean, when you're singing, what's happening? What, you know, where's this energy coming from?
You know, I have no idea, Mindy. I am so surprised. It surprised me when people said I was an R&B singer or a soul singer. I'm drawn to that kind of music. I'm honored to be thought of in that category of singers, but you know, it hadn't even ever occurred to me that I was that you could label me as that. I've just always loved to sing, and you know, the kind of the more expressive and, you know, soulful or whatever, I don't know, I just
who you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Kate, why did you decide to disappear from the music scene after the release of Sister Kate? I mean, I know you've done some performing and some albums, but, you know, on the big scale, why did you make that decision?
Well, you know, when I was pretty green when I started out, and dear Peter, you know, he sort of discovered this little firecracker of a singer and spirit. And we made the record and I went on tour, and I think I could see from the, you know, from just looking back on the tour as I, you know, as I finished it, that I really needed some grounding, and I needed, well, I didn't actually think those words at the time, but I had that sense. And later, as I look back on it, I realized, you know, I needed grounding, and I needed to establish a solid base and a solid core. And, you know, I had just, I'd been living on the vineyard. Well, we used to come as a family in the summers since we were little kids, but I had moved there, just moved there year round. And the touring and the, you know, the other words involved with making records and such had kept me away from home. And I was having a sense that I was losing my home base. And I needed to re-solidify that. So, you know, and then, you know, I got home, I went into a friend's teepee, and I said, I've got to have one. and I went and I bought some canvas, and a friend helped me to, modify a teepee design so that it could make it a little bit bigger. I hand stitched an 18-foot diameter teepee, drove up to Maine, and harvested some very tall, thin pine trees for the poles. Brought them down on top of the car on the ferry, and set up the teepee. And then, you know, one thing leads to another. I met my husband. We started to have children. My life filled up with all this other beautiful stuff. And my greatest hits, namely my two daughters. And, I did go back into the studio. James and I recorded a record he produced for me in 76. And then I did, or 78 maybe. And then I did a record down in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. I guess that could have given me a clue as to what the record company thought of my musical style. When they suggested that I go down to Muscle Shoals, and I was delighted to go down there. You know, I mean, who gets to do that?
Right. Yeah.
And then I, had my second Aretha, and I realized that touring was kind of out of the question. You know, as far as dragging a couple of kids along, it wasn't fair to them. And we had this beautiful life. And then I started to, the kids got big, and started to get back out on the road a little bit. And I had, Peter and I, of course, like he says, had stayed in touch because he's like a member of the family, whether he likes it or not. and we, we did some shows together. He came to my show, and we came to some of his, and then we performed together. And I connected up with his manager and agent, and it sort of, just the pieces all sort of fell into place. And it was like this beautiful, it was like, I'm just along for the ride kind of moment, where these things were happening, and we ended up being able to make this record. And it was so much fun working with Peter again.
It's like
this
destiny.
Man is brilliant. All right, and so he has wonderful sense of a song and a singer, and to do for a song, what songs to bring to the table and what musicians to play on those songs. Yeah. And, thinks about the singer, and you know what else he does, Mindy, is he listens. And I find that very refreshing. Yeah. That, if you make a suggestion, he takes it seriously. That's a sweet thing.
Yeah. The album is a mix of some covers of your favorite songs and songwriters and some Kate Taylor originals. So tell us a little bit about the interpretations of the covers. Peter, is that your arranging or a combination of the two of you?
It's both, and it also varies case by case and song by song, of course. But, sometimes the arrangement ideas are mine, but obviously they're based on the way that Kate likes to sing the song, or I may suggest an idea for a song, and she'll try singing it that way, that tempo or that kind of feel, and see if it works or not. Some are songs that Kate already knew, obviously, many of them, and in some cases, things that there was an Ed Sheeran song I brought to the table, for example. Mm-hmm. I think in particular cases, but the ideas were generally joint ideas.
I think so. But Peter brought, a number of songs to the project that I had not sung before, and I was delighted to get a chance to sing them. And he had suggested Good Day Sunshine in this particular version that he'd heard from an artist named Roy Redmond do. And it was kind of this R&B styled version of the song, and I loved it, and we gave it a try, and it's really fun to sing in that way. And Keith, as a matter of fact, has this service online that where you can get newspaper clippings from everywhere, and since ages gone by, and he looked up Sister Kate and Kate Taylor in 1971. And he found a lot of stuff, but one of the articles was written by Robert Hilburn, and it was this article from who was a music writer for the L.A. Times. And Robert Hilburn had come to my show at the Troubadour in L.A. and reviewed the show. And part of the list of songs that he said I did in it was Good Day Sunshine. And I had completely forgotten that I had sung, that I had sung the song. But I... But Peter's version was so different and so much fun to sing. I was really glad to get a chance to dig into it. Yeah. And he let me run a little bit roughshod over the thing. he encouraged me with the little ad libs and stuff. I kind of went off the I went off the deep end, like he says, little bit. But some of the stuff worked.
I think it worked great. Let's take a listen to Good Day Sunshine.
Good day, sunshine.
Sing it for me, girl.
Good day, sunshine.
It's a glorious day.
Good day, sunshine.
I need to laugh and when the sun I got something I can laugh about. I feel good in a special way. I'm in love and it's a sunny day. Good day, sunshine. Good morning, world.
Good day, sunshine.
Talking with Kate Taylor and Peter Asher. Kate Taylor's new album is called Why Wait? We'll talk more after a break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking with Kate Taylor. Her new album is Why Wait? Also with us is Peter Asher, 3-time Grammy Award-winning producer who's teamed up with Kate for the new album. So every song seems to have an interesting backstory on this album, and it's such a great mix. And Peter, a few minutes ago, Kate said she was this firecracker when you first met her. And I'm just thinking, what did you see in this young Kate Taylor, and what was that like now to work again together after 5 decades?
Well, as you know, the thing about getting old that's so curious is that some things change. It seemed to change a lot. but there's also a real sense in which nothing changes at all. You know, there's a very real sense in which we're exactly the same people were we now as we were when we were, you know, 18 or whatever. And I think that's certainly true. People's essential personality remains kind of the same. Kate still is a firecracker. When I first met her, yes, I mean, I'd met the entire Taylor family, you know, mm-hmm. and they are a box of firecrackers, and in different ways, and because they are, you know, all brilliant, all musically extraordinary, you know, and I'm including, you know, Ike and Trudy and the parents, and, you know, I met everybody and liked them all, and they were all a little bit mad, you know, and kind of unpredictable in an exciting way. And obviously then I became, you know, such close friends with the family, initially with James in particular, because we worked together for 25 years or something, and with Kate as well. So it was exciting. You know, yeah. One was aware when you met the Taylors, you know, that they were quite something, and they still are.
Mm. So, Kate, you included a tune written by your brother James, I Will Follow. Why this particular song?
Well, you know, it was just, we wanted to do a song of James's, and Peter suggested this song, and I was so happy that he did, because it's really a beautiful song, and it's one that is, you know, I mean, I believe that all of James's songs are pretty well known, but this one is, you know, less known than you know, some of his others, and to me, it's a very moving song, and when I sing it, I really feel like I'm experiencing something that James experiences. You know, I'm sort of stepping into his, you know, shoes or his overcoat for a minute. It's a very personal song, and I like to think of it as a song. Yeah, this isn't something that he said to me, but that it's a song for his audiences. And I, you know, so I like to think about his audiences and my audiences when I sing it. And it's really a beautiful song. And Peter and our musical director, Jeff Allen Ross, did a gorgeous arrangement of the song. And, you know, lovely backgrounds, vocals and some strings, and it's just a lovely, you know, it's a lovely arrangement of it, and I'm delighted to sing it, and I guess, you know, I hope I do it justice. You know, James did get a chance to hear it. He said he was glad that I had done it, and that we'd revived the tune, and I think it made him think that he might want to go out and start, you know, putting it back in his set.
Let's take a listen to I Will Follow.
Yonder mountain, so high, I can't make it all on my own. Rolling river, why so wide, to sweep me up and to bear me on. And up against the sky, so time to rise. Rise, true believer.
All right, so Peter, you suggested this song, and of all of the songs, Jim, why did you think this was the best pick for this album?
I Will Follow, you mean?
Yes, I Will Follow, yeah.
Well, I've always liked the song a lot, and I always thought it could be a little sort of tougher in a way than James's song. James is a bit more, maybe a little bit more folky or a bit more like a love song or something. Mm-hmm. And I just think that musically, you know, it rocks, you know, mm-hmm. and it's got a lot of groove to it. And so I tried to just make it a little more intense, a version that I thought would fit Kate's vocals, you know?
Yeah.
And it's always been a favorite James Taylor song of mine. I am rather obviously a huge James Taylor fan.
Yeah. So Kate, what was it like growing up in such a musical family? And did you feel any kind of pressure to pursue a musical career?
No, I think it was, our parents always made musical instruction available to us. And there was always a lot of music, being played in the house, and we went to concerts, and our mom would take us individually up to New York from Chapel Hill, where we would go see musicals. So there was an environment of music. And, you know, also in those days, Mindy, as a generation, we were speaking to each other with the music.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was ubiquitous, you know, and it's really a part of our landscape. And I think we just all got drawn to it for different reasons. You know, James, I think, was just born a fully formed, musical artist, genius. And, Livingston, too, for that matter. And our brother Alex was highly inspirational to us all in the way that he would insist that we listen to this song or that song. I can remember him telling me, I was about 12 or 13, he said, "Kate, come here." He sat me down in the car, in the front seat of the car, and he had the radio on. He said, "Listen to this." And it was the Beatles singing, "I Want to Hold Your Hand." And, but he insisted that we listen to a lot of the, R&B. And growing up in Chapel Hill, there was country music and bluegrass and pop music and the whole thing. But when the brothers, first off, James and Danny Korchmar met on the Vineyard, and when they were teenagers, and they started to play guitar together and performed, when they were kids. And then James and Alex had a band in Chapel Hill called the Fabulous Corsairs.
And by the way, in a footnote, that was Danny Korchmar playing guitar on I Will Follow that we just heard.
Oh, okay.
So it all continues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that great? Well, yeah. So they had a band, and the slogan for the band was "The Sounds That Abound with Musical Style." and they played sock hops and frat parties and stuff, and they were writing some songs, and they went into a studio in Raleigh and put those songs down on tape, and then they took them over to the WKIX, which was the big AM radio station in those days. That's where our music delivery system was, through the AM radio. So we they played those songs on the radio.
Yeah, amazing.
So all of a sudden it was like anything's possible.
Yeah.
You know, if you can go into a studio, put some songs down, and then get them played on the station that you listen to all the time, it was like a miracle.
Yeah, wow.
And, so I think everyone just sort of pursued this path, in their own way. I think our parents thought we were all going to be, going to college and become professionals. Our dad was a doctor. I think that was the assumption. And then it ended up none of us did that. And we all went out and did the, did this other crazy
thing. That's funny.
Of course, I feel like my brothers are, extremely brilliant people and self-taught in so many areas, but it was just kind of the perfect storm of the time and the environment, and we just all went on there. Also, there were five of us born within 6 years, And the only way that you could get a word in edgewise was to get on stage.
All right. So, Kate, let's talk about the title track to the album, Why Wait? Tell us a little bit about that. That's one of your songs.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had several moments where I was sitting around with friends or, you know, in situations where and thinking, well, if you're going to dream up heaven, what would it be? And then I'd look around and go, well, this looks pretty good. And I thought, well, why wait? You know, we're in the middle of it right here. And so that was kind of the, you know, the beginning of the song was just thinking about how it's, but I guess it's just a, you know, a song about grabbing the moment and going for it.
Yeah. Before we hear it, Peter, anything you want to say about it?
I love the tune the first time Kate played it to me. I mean, and it's a sentiment that I certainly agree with. I think if there is a skill to living well, it lies in, you know, grabbing every opportunity that comes your way and not hesitating unduly, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, I endorse the song, including the title, Why Wait?
It's a train, a slow-moving train. Sometimes it's at a standstill, sometimes steaming down the track. Well, it may be slow, but it won't be turning back. It's a train, a slow-moving train.
With Kate Taylor and Peter Asher. Kate Taylor's new album is called Why Wait? We'll talk more after a break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking with Kate Taylor. Her new album is Why Wait? Also with us is Peter Asher, 3-time Grammy Award-winning producer who's teamed up with Kate for the new album. I can only imagine between the two of you, the stories from the 1970s and all of the possible choices of the songs that you could have been doing on this album. How did you narrow it down?
We just worked on the songs, you know, sitting with a piano player or a guitar player and trying out the various songs and seeing what we thought of them. And, you know, there are a lot of songs to choose from. Once you open up the door to pre-existing songs and songs that I've heard before, you know, which is all what I always did with those Linda Ronstadt albums back in the day, you know, and then Linda's case didn't write songs at all. So, and you just pick the ones that work, you know, and you pick the ones you love, and you pick the ones that you think are exciting records.
It's such a fun album because there is such a variety, and that's what made me think of, my gosh, how, and, you know, looking back on just some of the stories you guys have from the 70s and working together and just all the musical people that have been in your lives, I just thought, wow, this seems like so much fun, but also, like, so hard to choose.
But I mean, when you get great songs by, you know, Taj Mahal or Lowell George, or, you know, there's just so many cool songs around that I have in my, particularly I have some in my mind as songs I must do one day with somebody because I like them so much. And there do seem to be lots of those, but there's, there's lots of good music out there, and you look back over the decades and find a song that maybe people have slightly forgotten about and go, wasn't this one great? And we have a different idea of how to do it in a new way, and it makes it exciting.
Yeah, Kate, you were going to say something?
I can't remember.
Did I tread on top?
No, it was brilliant what I thought of, I'm sure, but I
Of course I was. All right, so we have to talk about the duet with the two of you. Tell us a little bit more about that before we hear it.
We thought about the idea of doing a duet, and I remember a whole bunch of songs that crossed our collective desk as possible duet songs. And actually it was a version I'd heard of this. I knew the song, but I heard a version that Sarah DeRose did, who I'm a gigantic fan and friend of, and did it with, oh my God, I've forgotten his name.
Millsap.
Really?
Matthew Millsap, was that it?
That's right, yes, well done. Yeah. It's a duet version they did, and I really liked it, and I suddenly thought, well, that's the song Kate and I could do. It's a bit different than the kind of more up-tempo-y R&B things that we thought of and tried. It's, we do it together on stage as well now that we're doing these shows, I started, the way I started it on the record, Kate, we've known each other a long time, and by now perhaps we know a thing or two about love. And then lead into this kind of very traditional, somewhat sentimental old song. But it's as true now as it ever was, and it makes a lot of good points in the course of being a fine song. And singing it with Kate is a pleasure, of course, because we have known each other a long time.
Yeah. Kate, anything you want to say before we hear it?
Well, just that, Peter, you're an angel and a saint, and I love you.
Oh, thank you. I love you too, Kate.
Kate, my dear, you and I have known each other for an awfully long time, and I certainly hope that over those years we've each learned a thing or two about love. You've got to
give a little, take a little, and let your poor heart break a little. That's the story of, that's the glory of love. You've got to laugh a little, cry a little, until the clouds roll by a little. That's the story of, that's the glory of love. As long as there's the two of us, we've got the world and all its charms. And when the world is through with us, we've got each other's arms.
You've got to
win a little, lose a little. Yes, and always have the blues a little. That's the story of, that's the glory of love. Glory of love.
So, Kate and Peter, there is such a mix of gospel, rock, blues, country, soul. It made me wonder what you like to sing best, Kate, and what you listen to.
Well, you know what I find that I've listened to a lot of, like on my Pandora channel, you know, when I dial in a channel, I go for Jackie Wilson or Otis mm-hmm. Redding or Sam Cooke or the Aretha Franklin or the, you know, that's where I kind of gravitate towards. It just hits the right spot, you know, mm-hmm. if I'm just wanting to have some music around. But every so often, you know, these wonderful, amazing songwriters that are making music now or, you know, in the past, I love, you know, country music. I love James's music and Livingston and, you know, I don't know. I just there's so much great music out there, and it all hits me, pretty close to the heart. But yeah. There's something about gospel and R&B that I feel really at home there.
Yeah. So you chose "Don't Knock," a gospel classic, for the album, and this one has your daughters Liz and Aretha in the chorus. Tell us a little. Tell us a little bit about this one.
Well, you know what, we've sung since we were kids. We sang Staple Singers tunes. And I think it might have been one of those songs that I sang with James at the bottom of Peter's empty swimming pool lo those many years ago. I'm not sure, but we might have been singing a Staple Singers tune. But, you know, I've just sung that song for a long time and had a chance to meet Mavis. And actually, she sang on one of my earlier records with me, and I just, you know, I just love that material. And then, of course, my daughters really step up. I mean, they can deliver the goods, and so they
they sound great on the record.
Yeah.
So it really they work out really well singing with them. I love singing. They'll be on the show at the Tabernacle with me, us on Tuesday coming up on the 3rd, but. We've got, they're also singing on Why Wait. I've just, the Staple Singers tunes just mean a great deal to me. And I was delighted that Peter, agreed that we should put it on the record. And I think it came out really hot. I love it.
Coach Sweetie Pie, let me hear that E flat. Well, you don't know.
you've been touring around a little bit together doing this show. Peter, what's been the reaction from the audience?
With this particular show, we haven't done yet.
Oh, you haven't done yet? Oh, okay.
No, we're rehearsing. We rehearsed yesterday. So far, so good. It sounded great. Rehearsing today, and the first show is tomorrow.
Wow.
But the audience is going to love it. They're going to go crazy. I can see it.
So they're going to love it. That's right. Because Mindy, I guess we could tell, you know, the audience that your listeners, this conversation was before the actual airtime.
Right, recorded, yep, a little bit. So, Peter and Kate, you know, thinking back to your working together as these youngsters in the 70s, and then now working together now. And Peter, you sort of mentioned some things don't change, but, you know, we're a little bit different people now, right? So what was this, was it, you know, just pure magic this time around, or was it still the same magic of the 70s? What was it like doing this and now going on tour together?
It really didn't. It is one of those things where once you start doing it, it is certainly as if 50 years have not passed. You know, it all fell into place very easily. It felt the same as it did back then. Of course, we're different. You know, we're each more experienced and a little calmer and maybe more sure about what we're doing, perhaps, but not much. It really doesn't make a big difference. You're still kind of nervous. We're trying to get everything right and show up on the first day, hoping it all goes all right, and all the usual project things, you know.
Yeah.
But and the joy you get when you get a track right and a vocal right and it's all sounding good is exactly the same as it was back then. And even the joy of finding a great song, whether it was from back in that era when we get a brand new song from Carole King or a friend, or this time getting a song from a friend like Ed Sheeran, you know, in another era. The excitement's the same, and the joy when it goes well is exactly the same.
Yeah, and Kate, I don't know where you find the energy, but you are still rocking it.
Well, it's in there, and it's got to come out.
we're gonna go out on Tommy James and the Shondells classic, Crystal Blue Persuasion. And when I saw this on there, I went, "What?" I played this song so much in my bedroom. You know, my 45 had Q-Burn, and you know, for young people, going Q-Burn, what the heck is Q-Burn, right? Well, you play it so much, we got that scratchy beginning. I absolutely loved this song. I love your version of it. What do you want to say about it before we hear it?
This was completely Kate's idea, and it's a brilliant idea. But when she first told me, I went, really? But she was totally right. Take it away, Kate. And she has a story which involves Mr. James himself.
Yeah, I got a chance to sing the song with Tommy James on a concert that he gave celebrating the 50th anniversary of his being in the music business. That was, a year or two before COVID. And so I loved the song then, and then I got a chance to sing it for him. I put it in the set. I got a chance to sing it for him at a club in New York, and he stood up and gave me a standing ovation. I said, "Oh my God, I've done something right." So when I brought it to Peter, also the response that people get, you know, give me from, you know, after I've sung it on the show, it's like, "Oh my God, like you, Mindy, I love the song. It meant so much to me." And I think it spoke to back then, and it speaks to today.
Yeah. Timeless. Yeah. Thank you, Kate Taylor and Peter Asher. The new album is called Why Wait. They'll be performing at the Music Room in Yarmouth on July 30th and 31st, and then at the Tabernacle in Oak Bluffs on August 3rd. And we'll have a link with more information about the performances and the album at our website, capeandislands.org. Thank you both so much. Such fun to talk to you.
Thank you. It was wonderful. It was really, really interesting stuff. Thank you.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thank you for listening.
The sun is arising. Crystal blue.